Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. The Small Business Administration reached the $349 billion lending limit for the Paycheck Protection Program this morning. Now, small business owners whose loans haven't been processed must wait for Congress to approve more funding for the program. It's uncertain at this time whether or not lawmakers may reach an agreement to allow loan approvals to continue. Lawmakers are attempting to add $250 billion to the Paycheck Protection Program.
In a joint statement, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Republican Lead Kevin McCarthy said the lack of funds for small business loans could have been prevented. The leaders say they hope Democrats heed the calls for funding a bill to get unanimous consent to become law. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi responded in a press conference this morning.
They need the money. We understand that. And we're willing to give them that money. But we also need the other money.
Democrats have said there are other needs during the time of coronavirus, including additional help for hospitals.
Congress doesn't return to Washington, D.C. until May 4th. But the White House may not want to wait long for an increase in funding for small business loans. The Russell Group president, Randy Russell, says a pro forma session could be one option to approve funds.
Save a few that can come to run the House and Senate if they need to. And so anything that was to be done would have to be done through unanimous consent, meaning both sides, both House and Senate, both Democrat and Republicans would have to agree to it.
Right now, there's not much agreement between lawmakers.
I suspect something is going to have to be done on a bipartisan, bicameral basis within the next week or two to put some additional funds in that, because proving to be a very popular and much needed program. And so I suspect something will be done in that regard before they come back on May 4th.
Compared to 1 year ago, the volume of farm operating loans increased slightly in the first quarter. The quarterly Ag Finance report from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City indicates delinquency rates increased slightly at the end of 2019, but farmland values and overall agricultural credit conditions are holding steady. It's not clear how the coronavirus pandemic will impact farm lending moving forward, but the Fed report indicates government programs may hold the keys for the farm outlook.
Grain prices have fallen enough to make them competitive on the world market. Standard Grain President Joel Vaclavic says corn exports are a bright spot.
Really strong exports again this morning, and that's been the trend. So while ethanol suffers, you're going to see much better demand from exports and probably from the feed sector as well. It's not going to be enough to make up the ethanol portion. And the soybeans, it's interesting. You've actually got the exact opposite. Your domestic processors are doing a ton of business.
And in the soybean complex, domestic use for bean meal is the bright spot.
NOPA said yesterday that U.S. processors crushed a record amount of beans in March, the highest amount ever printed for any month. But in beans, your exports are suffering. So you've got kind of an interesting dynamic. Good exports in corn, poor domestic processing, bad exports in beans, but very strong domestic processing.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending April 9th shows net corn sales of 907,000 metric tons, 51% below the previous week and 36% less than the four-week average. New crop corn sales reported at 63,000 tons. Net old crop soybean sales are reported at a marketing year low, 245,000 tons, down 53% from the previous week and 68% less than the four-week average. New crop sales are reported at 60,000 tons. Net wheat sales are reported at 178,000 tons, down 31% from the previous week and 49% below the four-week average. Sales for the new crop year, which begins July 1st, are reported at 419,000 tons.
Dairy supplies are increasing. World Ag Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekinowski says demand is going in the other direction.
A lot of these dairy products, of course, butter, cheese, etc., I mean, they depend very heavily on the food service industry, restaurants, and, you know, hotels and conferences, etc. So demand for those products has fallen off pretty sharply.
Lower demand and higher stocks lead to lower prices.
Last three prices were currently forecasting down $3.90 a hundredweight from last month, but year over year, that would lead to about a $4.21 reduction.
African swine fever resulted in the loss of millions of hogs in China. Kansas State University Extension livestock economist Glenn Tonzer says there are mixed reports regarding the recovery efforts in China.
The Chinese government and the ag sector itself has pulled the trigger hard on producing pork. So they've put in motion their effort to produce pork in the future. That's not the same as wiping the African swine fever out and being past it, but it is relevant for them being positioned to produce a lot of pork and not need to import as much.
Tonzer said this could lead to the U.S. selling less pork products to China, but could mean the country may need more feed supplies for their hog industry.
South Dakota Senator John Thune, Representative Dusty Johnson, and other lawmakers sent a letter to USDA asking the agency to take immediate action to help pork producers and maintain the pork food supply chain. The letter follows the closure of Smithfield Foods processing plant in Sioux Falls. Smithfield is also closing its plant in Martin City, Missouri, a plant that receives raw materials from the Sioux Falls plant. The lawmakers would like USDA to use existing authorities and available funds to compensate hog producers for their losses if hog harvesting can't be scheduled. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Retail fertilizer prices trended higher during the first full week of April. Despite small week-to-week gains, retail fertilizer prices are lower than 1 year ago. According to a DTN survey of ag retailers, anhydrous is 17% cheaper than last year at this time. DAP is 19% lower, and MAP is 18% less expensive. UAN 28 is 13% lower, and UAN 32 is down 12% from mid-April of 2019. Urea is 5% less expensive. Potash is 4% cheaper.
With very few acres fertilized last fall, growers will try to address crop nutrition with one pass and a complete blend. Helena Agri-Intelligence agronomist Matt Boyer says that will require additional management.
We need to make sure we're meeting our P and K needs, right? So I still think variable rating fertilizer applications for phosphorus and potassium is crucial. So it might actually require an additional pass this spring if we're going to go out with a straight rate of nitrogen as well. So just can be hard to manage, but it can easily be done.
Boyer says it's difficult to keep the nitrogen available throughout the season if there is just one application in the spring.
That to me is one that people, it seems like, are moving more and more towards split applications, and it's a great place to be. What that really does is it allows us to put out the same amount of nitrogen, but as we put it closer to actual plant uptake, we minimize the losses of nitrogen into the environment. And most importantly, we minimize the nitrogen that isn't getting to our crop.
Hazen, North Dakota farmer John Winand says he will be planting barley tomorrow.
It looks like the forecast is going to be above freezing temps for the next solid week. So we're going to start planting tomorrow. And we have been working in the field doing some fertilizer application and a little bit of tillage, the T word, which I don't believe in, but just said the ground was rough and it needed some leveling off is the only reason we're doing that. But yeah, no, the plan is pretty much the same here. We have a nice rotation we like, and so we're going to stick to it, I think, for the most part.
Winand says winter wheat emergence is all right, and there is plenty of moisture in the ground.
You know, in this part of the world, as far as moisture, we're set up as good as we could expect to be. I mean, I don't know of another year when I've been this wet in the spring. And so, you know, the early crops should have plenty of moisture to get off the ground and get going. I would expect the winter wheat to be a very nice crop considering, you know, we're starting out with good moisture and the winter survival was excellent the way it looks. So
Several factors could come into play when planting dry beans this growing season. That's according to NDSU Extension agronomist Hans Condell. Using a seed treatment can help maximize dry bean emergence given current field conditions.
Especially as we are still very cool this year and have many fields that have been coming out of a wet fall as well as the snow melt this season. When you put fertilizer down, that fertilizer really can reduce the germination if the fertilizer is too close to the seed. And we do recommend that you do some stand counts to really know what kind of stand you have at the onset of the season. And we need to realize that most seed lots have a different germination percent, so it's always good to have a germination test.
Karen Schaefer will be the new executive director of the Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation beginning June 1st. For the past 8 years, Schaefer has served as the executive director of the Minnesota Beef Council.
The whole month of June actually will be a bit of a slow transition. I really wanted to make sure that the Minnesota Beef Council had a replacement up and running and that I was able to help with that transition and finish out the fiscal year. But the exciting thing for me is I actually started right out of college with the Minnesota Farm Bureau, and it spent 6 years there before I moved on to the Beef Council. And it's fun that there are a lot of similar staff members. A lot of the members and the volunteers are familiar faces to me.
Schaefer is working for the cattle producers in Minnesota, has been a rewarding job. While the decision to transition was hard, she is excited to continue working with many of the same farmers and ranchers.
So the role pretty much is kind of being that liaison between the Minnesota Farm Bureau Board of Directors and their staff, and making sure that we're executing the vision and the strategies that the board lays out. You know, agriculture is going to definitely have some challenges moving forward. This COVID situation in and of itself has shown us that there's a lot of volatility here.
And Schaefer succeeds Chris Raddatz, who's retiring from the Farm Bureau after 40 years with the organization. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The North Dakota FFA Association is canceling their state convention, originally scheduled for June. State Supervisor Aaron Anderson says it was a tough decision.
Well, we can't have a convention and gather in Fargo with over 1,400 North Dakota FFA members. We're going to still spend some time that week celebrating the accomplishments of our members through a virtual aspect. So on our social media pages, we'll be celebrating and recognizing our proficiency award winners, our state degree recipients, our stars, as well as our current state officers and the great year they've done this year.
Anderson says there are constitutional bylaws that allow FFA to continue operating without gathering for official business, but alternatives are being explored. State officer candidates will still go through a screening process in June. The National FFA organization is considering options for the October convention, but a lot can change.
They're planning right now and figuring out what their contingency plans are for other to have that particular event. From state associations, it's not looking promising for any state to be able to host any type of gathering this summer. And so you're going to see a lot of virtual conventions. You're going to see some virtual competitive event for states to try to qualify students for nationals. And so it's unique. It's challenging. You know, National FFA canceled WLC here a couple weeks ago. All sessions that were supposed to take place this summer in Washington, D.C. It's the first time in 50 years.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat down 6 3/4 at 5.07 1/4. May Chicago wheat down 7 3/4 at 5.32 1/2. May Kansas City wheat down 6. May corn up 1 1/4 at 3.20 1/2. December corn down 1 1/2 at 3.41 1/4. May beans down 4 3/4 at 8.37 1/4. November beans down 4 3/4 at 8.55. June live cattle up $2.40 at 87.22. May feeder cattle up $3.02 at 118.60. May lean hogs down $1.85 at 37.60. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.